All right, welcome to episode 205 of the G2 on 5G. It's the latest insight scoop on everything 5G. We typically cover six topics in about 20 minutes, but as you can see, Anshul and I are traveling together. We're in the beautiful city of San Francisco. We just attended the T-Mobile Capital Markets Day. That is going to be one of our topics, but we're going to have an abbreviated format this week. Four topics. It is also brought to you by More Insights and Strategy. Anshul, good to see you here in San Francisco, buddy.
Thanks. I just barely made it.
Yeah, you did. Let's start with our first topic. And this is big news. AST SpaceMobile finally launched its first swath of commercial satellites. These are Bluebirds. We've talked about this on a number of podcasts. With SpaceX, they put five birds into orbit. What do you think about all that?
I think it's a big deal. They're serving AT&T and Verizon and a bunch of other carriers.
Yeah.
And it proves that they are very real. And I believe that those satellites were deployed successfully.
They were.
It'll be really interesting to see how this plays out. And their stock has soared as a result of this.
Yeah, it's up to nearly $30 a share, right?
And yeah, I think they're just executing on what they promised they would do. And they have a pretty rabid fan base. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it's good. And Starlink needs some competition.
Yeah. And Starlink is still in the testing phase of what they're doing there. And like I always say, competition breeds innovation. So this is great, and actually, you and I have an opportunity to spend some time with AT&T and AST SpaceMobile. We're still finalizing those plans, so we don't want to share any dates or times with our viewers and listeners, but we are hoping to have a conversation with both AT&T and AST SpaceMobile, so stay tuned for that. So let's talk about the second topic du jour this week, and there was big news around mobile network programmability. And Ericsson announced a joint venture with a lot of mobile network operators where they really want to drive, finally, mobile network programmability into reality. So why don't you start off with your thoughts there?
Yeah, I think it was something that it seems like the industry actually agreed upon.
Yeah.
Something that's rare in the provider space.
Right.
And I think it was just a realization that everybody was trying to do their own thing, and mm-hmm. It wasn't working.
Yeah.
And I guess Ericsson approached a lot of the carriers, because that's what I heard.
Yeah.
And Ericsson approached the carriers to make this happen, and it sounded like it actually happened pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because I think everybody wanted to monetize their 5G networks a little faster than they maybe had hoped.
Yeah.
And I think that it happened really quickly from what I've heard from a lot of carriers.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like this because they agreed that Ericsson seems like a happy intermediary between all the different carriers, and this way the carriers are all invested in this.
Yeah.
It's 50-50 carriers, 50-50 Ericsson, and yeah, I just think it's gonna be a net positive for Ericsson too, because it's gonna be running on their equipment,
mm-hmm.
and they want that to be successful. And yeah, I just think it's really about monetization first and foremost.
Yeah.
But also, I just think that this is a net positive, because if you're an application developer or like a big enterprise, you can now build to one spec and have it at global scale.
Yeah, and the GSMA has done a lot here, setting standards and that sort of thing. You could argue that Ericsson was a little in front of their skis with the Vonage acquisition. You and I have talked about the fact that basically Ericsson has written off all of that $6 billion acquisition. And so they really needed to chart a new course. And the telecommunications industry, like many what I call old school industries, sometimes they're resistant to change. Your point around speeding the developer journey, I think is super important. What this is all about is exposing network APIs to more easily leverage the inherent greatness of what 5G will deliver from a latency and throughput and device support standpoint. I will mention that prior to this announcement, I did publish an analyst insight on the More Insights and Strategy website.
I remember that, yep.
So for our viewers and listeners, if you want to learn more about what I wrote, go hit our website. But I talked about Vonage and I talked about Ericsson, but I also talked about Nokia. So it's also important to mention that Nokia launched its Network as Code platform about a year ago. And again, competition breeds innovation. And even though this particular announcement is very focused on Ericsson and the JV with all these mobile network operators, I do think there's a lot of value, and Nokia has done a lot to move things along as well. So I really think my conclusion in that analyst insight was that I think finally we're at a point where network programmability from a mobile standpoint has finally found its rhythm. It'll be interesting to see how this all kind of plays out, but I think it's very positive for the industry. But let's move to our third topic, and you actually caught this one. So Verizon recently had a pretty big reduction in force, right?
Yeah, it's a 5,000 person layoff.
Yeah.
Which is about
out of how many employees?
100,000.
So okay, so it's relatively, it's not that big, but
it's still 5%.
It's still 5%.
And they've also had some other layoffs that were like voluntary separation programs, mm-hmm. managerial positions.
Yeah.
It seems like Verizon's trying to cut costs here. They say this is going to cost them $2 billion to do.
Wow.
They're probably going to end up saving a few billion dollars after you consider the $2 billion. But the truth is, this is really an admission of they need to improve their profitability, mm-hmm. and that their network is not generating the types of revenue and profits that I think they would have hoped.
Yeah.
And I think it's because they just lost too many customers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they lost a lot of mind share. And I think they're going to struggle to recover that. But I would say that I'm actually pretty confident that Verizon's network is much better today than it was, say, 3 years ago.
Sure.
However, they have lost a lot of customers. The sentiment's no longer there. And to be honest, I don't think that their mid-band network is anywhere near as good as T-Mobile's.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty happy with the ultra capacity that I have on my iPhone.
Yeah.
It's good. You know, I'm sorry, they call it ultra wideband. But their ultra wideband network is still spotty in a lot of places.
Yeah.
And that's partially because of the C-band is just not that, doesn't propagate that
sure.
well.
Yeah.
But I think with time, it will be robust. But yeah, I think they're just going to have a hard time catching T-Mobile and also a hard time recapturing that leadership position that they had for so long.
We've talked about Verizon quite a bit. And certainly when you look at 5G from a deployment standpoint, they've really been in last place there. To your point, they've made up some ground. They've built out the very expensive C-band spectrum assets that they purchased in auction. And I think a lot of their churn has been on the consumer side. And really, it's been an opportunity for T-Mobile to really capture a lot of that consumer subscribership, given how far ahead T-Mobile has been with building out those mid-band spectrum assets that they acquired through the Sprint acquisition. I do see light at the end of the tunnel. I've seen several announcements within the enterprise space where they're making some progress with private network deployments and that sort of thing, enabling stadiums with millimeter wave connectivity, which
5G.
NHL with private 5G. So there's some bright spots there. Don't count them out, but it's going to take them some time to catch up. And I think this recent layoff, it's part of getting re-leveled and getting a little more nimbler as they move forward. Yeah, interesting stuff. But the whole T-Mobile setup, that's a great segue to our fourth and final topic this week. You and I were here in San Francisco this morning, and we spent 4 hours with the T-Mobile executive management team. There were 15 industry analysts, and including you and I, that were invited. And how many financial analysts?
Probably like 50 or 100.
50 or 100, I don't know.
A lot.
There were a lot. But it was great. So it's been about 3 years since T-Mobile has conducted something like this. In 21, it was virtual because we were in the midst of the pandemic. So it was great to get together, spend some time with executives. We got to see Callie Field that leads T-Mobile for Business, Mishka Dagan that leads some of the business development activities, including the SASE offering. But man, there was a lot that was announced. And so maybe let's start with OpenAI and Sam Altman. And we got to see Sam and
yes.
Sievert talk about a collaboration on an improved CX platform that T-Mobile plans to roll out in 25. So why don't you start there?
Yeah, so they're branding it Intent CX.
Right.
So the whole purpose is basically to improve the customer success, customer experience on T-Mobile. The thing is that we don't have that many details right now, but the way I perceive it, it seems like it's going to be like a top layer on top of everything that they're already doing,
mm-hmm.
and kind of help to quarterback where in the organization the customer support needs to happen and how.
And identify what they say is identify pain points
exactly, proactively.
And then automate remediation and fixes. It's like anticipating an issue before it happens and then solving it.
And using customer data, existing customer data to
train the models, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it also seems like there's this, it's like a platform that they've co-developed with OpenAI.
That's not clear. And in fact, Patrick Moorhead, our founder and chief analyst, was wanting you and I to get clarity on that. And we plan to. We met with the AR team and we plan to get some clarity. But it does look very collaborative, because if you read through the press release, there's a lot of discussion on how OpenAI and T-Mobile are going to collaborate together as they, and it sounds like they're putting a stake in the ground and things are a little squishy right now, but that there's going to be some effort to really get some meat on the bone.
It also sounds like it's been going on for a while.
Yeah.
And it sounds, it might be the first of its kind in the industry.
Yeah. Yeah.
So as a result, I think it's going to be, we're going to be light on details until we actually get real rubber hitting the road.
For sure. Hey, and by the way, for our viewers and listeners, Anshul and I, we were live tweeting or live Xing or whatever we call it now. So we provided a lot of insights over the last 4 hours. But let's jump into the second area, which I found really interesting. And it's a dedicated network slice for first responders. And clearly T-Mobile is putting AT&T FirstNet network in its sights. And from my perspective, you and I had the same question initially. It's okay, like, how will this compete with FirstNet? Because there's been a lot of effort focused there. But as we heard from executives and we heard from Callie Field in particular on this T-Priority initiative, where it could be really interesting is like in rural areas where maybe FirstNet doesn't have kind of the depth of coverage and that sort of thing. And they also announced that they're actually going to implement this within the city of New York. Now, I don't know what borough that's going to be. And
I think it's the whole city.
Is it the whole city?
Yeah.
And so basically it's taking the public network, it's slicing it to drive deterministic support for critical communications that involve voice and video. If you think about the cameras, the best cameras that police officers use, firefighters, these sort of first responders, it's quite interesting, right? What's your take on this? Can it be complementary to what AT&T has done with FirstNet?
I think it's different. Yeah. I think they're definitely going at FirstNet with this.
Right.
It feels like they were talking about how they have a lot more capacity than FirstNet does.
I think, the 5G standalone network, right?
Yeah, just the fact that it's part of their commercial network,
but
it's a slice, and they're going to be able to guarantee lower latency. Mm-hmm. They're going to be able to guarantee much more bandwidth. So I think what might end up happening is you might have basic level communications and basic level interactions happening on FirstNet. And then in applications where you need more data, maybe you do use T-Mobile. I think it's called T-Priority.
T-Priority, right? Yeah.
And use T-Priority. If you're going to send somebody a big file, you maybe won't be able to do that over FirstNet very quickly. But if you have T-Priority for data transfer, mm-hmm. you can just send that file real quickly. You might even be able to just stream it live. I think there are going to be applications where T-Priority might be a better application. I think they need to convince police departments, fire departments, emergency response on why they're better.
Yeah.
Other than just giving numbers, showing how they're better.
Yeah.
But I think having New York City being their number one customer will help them prove that out, because it's such a big city with so many problems happening in real time. And I feel like, I think I even heard that FirstNet was originally proven out in New York City as well.
Mm-hmm.
So this might be them following FirstNet's model and also trying to improve upon it.
Yeah, and it could be a layered approach. It could be, I don't want to call it a redundancy, but it could be a fallback. Because one of the things that Callie Field spoke to was, even within a FirstNet scenario, which is a dedicated network for first responders, if you think about a natural disaster like a hurricane in the Florida Keys, where I have a home, or some, you know, an earthquake in California, even a dedicated network can experience congestion.
Police, fire,
exactly.
Emergency
with
rescue,
all of these people Coast trying Guard, to communicate on it.
National
right?
Guard, they're all in the same band, right?
Yeah. You know, theoretically, having a network slice that would guarantee for critical communication could be of advantage, right? So it's going to be interesting to see how this all pans out, and we will certainly monitor very closely what happens in New York. And you and I are going to have an opportunity to follow up with many of these executives that we met with today. But the final thing I want to talk about, tied to the T-Mobile Capital Markets Day, is AI RAN. And we had another rock star join Mike Sievert on stage, Jensen Huang from NVIDIA. He's wearing the Fonzie jacket, making the rounds, right?
I think he was just down the street at Salesforce.
Probably at
yesterday.
The Salesforce, at the Dreamforce event, but he did duck in. And this is really interesting. So it's the whole notion of using AI to optimize what you do in the radio access network, and the advantages there that you can extend, improve coverage and performance. And if you think about it, you can do it on a very dynamic basis, because with AI and the algorithms, you can be constantly evaluating the environment, right? And environments are going to differ whether you're in a rural setting or you're in an urban setting, right? And certainly in a rural setting, it's going to be wide open. In an urban setting, you're going to have contention, you're going to have line of sight issues and that sort of thing. So the whole notion is taking what NVIDIA has developed with the CUDA platform, integrating that with a new compute piece of infrastructure, right? And then with AI to supercharge the RAN. And this is something that NVIDIA talked about at GTC earlier this year, but the details were pretty fuzzy. So this is a result of what came out of GTC, and it's interesting. T-Mobile has been very innovative, and they've been a disruptor in many aspects. And I think T-Mobile is a great partner for NVIDIA to take this to market. But what do you think about all that?
The one thing I was going to ask you, and this was something I just thought of as you were talking.
Yeah.
Has T-Mobile really embraced Open RAN at all?
Well, that's interesting, because this did come up during the sessions today. And no, they really haven't. Honestly, AT&T has been much more...
So this is them basically saying we're going to do Open RAN.
They're going to jump into the Open RAN.
Because this is like a stealth Open RAN announcement, right?
Yeah, but it's sexier because it's AI.
Sure. The only reason why I'm saying is because I felt like that lead was dropped.
Yeah.
It didn't really get brought up, but like you can only do this if you do Open RAN. So I thought that was really interesting.
It was. No, it's a great observation. Yeah. Yeah, so we could probably go on and on about what happened today. But again, it was 3.5 hours of a lot of content and a great Q&A. And I'm sure you and I will be writing this up either informally in blogs or maybe we collaborate on a
Forbes. I think we have to collab on an article.
I think we have to do it as well. But
I was going to say, I just want to inject a quick rapid fire three topics that I wanted to talk about.
Okay, go for it. And I wish I brought a telephone book, because I feel like I'm in the little kid's seat, and you're in the adult seat. Maybe I'll sit on this
for this episode. We also wanted to talk about T-Mobile testing emergency notifications via satellite with SpaceX.
Okay.
For Starlink, that's the first time they've ever done that.
Let's be balanced with our treatment of AST and Starlink.
Yes. Yeah. And that went through, and it's potentially going to actually be available, not just for T-Mobile, but for like all carriers, which is going to be huge.
Yeah.
So you can send an emergency notification to the entire country if you need to, regardless of cell coverage. And then the NCAA has approved AT&T's 5G helmet, which we've talked about before, for deaf football players. And I'm hoping that I'm talking to AT&T about maybe getting a demo of that.
Yeah, because there was a press release. So shout out to AT&T on that.
And then finally, Huawei released their new Mate XT trifold, which is actually a bifold. It has two hinges on it.
I saw that. It's crazy.
And it folds into three screens, but it's actually just one big screen.
But it's $3,000.
It's 10 inches. It's $3,000, but it's already sold out. It's sold out everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's a 10-inch screen when it's unfolded, and it's a 6.3-inch screen when it's folded up. And it's about the same thickness as a thick-ish smartphone, but you really wouldn't notice. I just wanted to throw those out there because I didn't want those to die on the vine.
No, sweet. Yeah, you know, I saw the side-by-side comparison. I think it was with the Samsung
S24. Yeah.
And
oh, no, you're right. It was the Fold.
Yeah, I think it was the Fold.
And it was very close.
And it was very close. But yeah, the price point, $2,800 or $2,900.
And it's like $600 if you break the screen.
But let me ask you, though, because like you're our device expert in the firm. I mean, how usable is that going to be for every day? Or is it more of just a gadget?
Thing? I watched the videos. It looks like they're using the screen pretty well.
Are they?
Like, I have a foldable in hand.
Yeah.
This is the Pixel 9 Fold. I'll be writing a review pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
I could totally see myself using a better 16:9 aspect ratio or something close to it. There's a lot of bars here, so I think it could work. Huawei came out of nowhere with this one, and people are very excited about it.
Yeah. I'm a gadget guy, so maybe you can get me a review unit as well.
We'll try.
All right, buddy. We made it fast and furious here in the city of San Francisco. Great podcast. Why don't you take us home?
Absolutely. We hope our viewers and listeners found this week's topics interesting. If anyone out there would like to provide insights on a specific 5G topic for a future podcast, please reach out to us on social media. Will's at Wheeltown Tech, and I'm at Anshul Sag. We hope you have a great weekend, and please tune in again next week. And don't forget to rate and subscribe.